Good morning. Welcome to our morning service here on the 10th of May, 2020. Thank you for joining us. And happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. Happy Mother's Day to my daughters and my wife and my mother. And I hope you will say the same to your mothers. And thank you, mothers. It's a blessing. So today we'll go through the birthdays and then sing a hymn. Go to God's Word. And we'll be in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 if you want to be turning in your Bibles. But let's do the birthdays first. Rachel Jones tomorrow. Adam Zeus on the 12th. Daisy Williamson and Daniel Zeus and Moira Nofke all on the 14th. So we have three people that share that day. So be sure to wish those five people a happy birthday this week. And today, I will have posted the lyrics, but we are singing Victory in Jesus together. And let's enjoy that great hymn, Victory in Jesus.
I heard an old story, how our Savior came from glory. How he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing teaching. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. About the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Thank you for singing with us this morning. Victory in Jesus. Praise God for the victory that we have in Jesus. 1 Corinthians 10 in our Bibles this morning. If you'd like to turn there, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we are going to look together at verses 10 and 13, or sorry, 12 and 13 of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Very, very well-known verse 13, but very important for us as Christians. Verse 12, Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So a way to escape will be our message this morning. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you'd use your word in our hearts and lives now to grow us and teach us. Just thank you for the privilege of being able to meet remotely like this and yet still open your word together. We pray, Lord, that we would grow and learn through this wonderful passage about temptation, and that you would work miracles in hearts, that you would be glorified, and that you would guide us in truth. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So, beautiful passage here, and as the Lord says, it's beginning in verse 12, we all, as Christians, and he is speaking to Christians here, need to be careful that we never believe that we've arrived, that we never feel like we're standing, that we're where we need to be, that there's always another temptation, there's always another trial around the corner. And that's why he says there in verse 12, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. We're all just one sin away from falling. And we need to always have that attitude that we need God, that we need his help, we need his victory, we need his protection, we need the Holy Spirit's filling. And so we need to always be prepared. You know, if you go to 2 Corinthians in chapter 10, it's a very important and beautiful passage about how Satan attacks our thought lives. And most of you are very aware of it, where it says that we're to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Beautiful truth. But the next verse says, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. In other words, yes, we need to be putting these things into practice because the devil's going to keep attacking, but we always have to be ready for the next attack, to have a readiness for the next one, because there's going to be a next one, and there's going to be a next one. You know, the Bible says pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Never have this attitude that you've arrived, that you're where you need to be, that you won't sin, that you won't fall. Always realize that we're just sinners saved by grace, and we need God's help every day. And so as Jesus told his disciples there in the garden before he went to Calvary, he said, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. That's Jesus talking. Our flesh is weak. Our spirit may be willing, but our flesh is weak. And in Romans chapter 7, Paul talked about his own personal struggle with sin. You can read that sometime. But take heed. We're all to take heed, lest we fall. And then the most well-known verse on this topic here in verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. A lot of truths in this verse, which we're going to walk through together, but just to gain a bit of context, earlier in the chapter, God actually gives us some specific areas to be watching out for, and he uses the Old Testament Jews to teach us about these areas where we are going to face temptations. And so if you look up in verse 6, it talks about lust. It says, now these things were our examples to the end, the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Talking about Israel, how they lusted. Do Christians have a problem with lust? Of course they do. Then in verse 7, we see idolatry. It says, neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Say, oh, we don't have trouble with idolatry. But the truth is, the Bible teaches that we can have idols in our hearts of money, and things, and power, and family. If we're not careful, these things can become idols. They can become things that are more important to the Lord in our lives. And so we're to be careful of that. And then in verse 8, he talks about fornication. He says, neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 3,000. So we see there to be careful and watch out for fornication. And of course, the Bible says to flee fornication in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. So, with the internet today and everything, this is a huge issue and something that we have to be on the lookout for. And then the fourth thing, he talks about tempting the Lord. He says in verse 9, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of the destroyer. Say, well, why would I tempt the Lord? And yet, every time we doubt His power, every time we doubt His ability to work miracles in our lives, we are essentially tempting Him. And so, we're not to do that. And yet, we will be tempted to. And then the fifth thing he mentions here in verse 5 is complaining or murmuring. Or sorry, not verse 5, verse 10. He says, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. So, here we see murmuring or complaining. In other words, not being happy with what God's allowed in our lives, but complaining about it. That's a sin. And one of the things that angered God the most with Israel in the Old Testament was their constant complaining and murmuring when they were faced with difficult trials and times. So just some examples that God gave there in that passage of things to be aware of. Lusting, idolatry, fornication, tempting the Lord, not trusting the Lord, and complaining. And that's just five examples. But the key of this verse is, as we'll see, there's a way to escape. But let's walk through the verse together. So much to learn in this passage. He starts off by saying, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Now, this is important. It's not new. If you're facing a temptation, it's not a new temptation. Someone else has faced it. It's common. And the good news is that your high priest, who is waiting to help you, has faced it as well. Go to Hebrews 4:15 and I'll show you this. This is a very important truth that Jesus Christ understands our temptations. Now, of course, He was sinless and never succumbed to those temptations, but He was tempted. Notice Hebrews 4:15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. That word, that phrase, all points, that's important. That says that Jesus was tempted in all the areas that we are tempted, and He understands as our great high priest. And that's why He says in verse 16, come boldly into the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help. So Jesus Christ has faced it. There is no temptation that is new. It's all common, but it will come into your life. Now, the Bible teaches that there are basically three directions from which temptation will come. Go to Romans chapter 13, and we'll look at these three things. And the first one is, of course, our flesh. We are our own worst enemies. The majority of our temptations come from within. And notice he says in Romans 13, in verse 14, put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. The flesh is one of our number one sources of temptation. Then also, if you go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, we'll see that another source of temptation is the devil. And he does tempt Christians. Notice 1 Thessalonians and chapter 3 and verse 5. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. The tempter, one of the names that God has given to the devil is the tempter. And so he does tempt God's people. And then, of course, 1 John chapter 2, the world is another source of temptation. So turn over there where God actually categorizes the world's temptations into three major categories. And if you study it out, you'll see that those were the three areas that the devil tempted Eve. And those are the same three areas that Satan tempted Jesus in the desert. 1 John 2, verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. God says that all temptation is common, but there's a lot of it out there. It can come from the flesh, it can come from the devil, it can come from the world. In other words, it's always going to be there. We're never going to be away from it. So that is established. But if you go back to our passage, 1 Corinthians 10:13, the next phrase is one of the most important in this verse. But God is faithful. My friend, When you face temptations, remember God is faithful. God is there. He indwells us in the person of the Holy Ghost. He's faithful. And we serve a God who is faithful. But this is teaching us not only that God is there to help us, and the Bible teaches this, faithful is he that calleth thee who also will do it, 1 Thessalonians 5:24. But it also reminds us that when we face temptations, God knows about it, and God allowed it, essentially. That's why in James we're told, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, in James chapter 1, verse 2, because God allowed that temptation in your life to grow you, to refine you, to teach you to rely on him, to teach you to resist, and so forth. But God is faithful. God allows temptations in our lives to grow us. And so that this is important. We read in the scriptures many times about how we're to trust him. You know, Paul had the thorn in the flesh and he said, Lord, please take it away. And God said, no, my grace is sufficient. Paul, I'm trying to teach you through this. And look at Job and his suffering. And of course, Job would have wanted that to go away. And in the midst of that, though, Job said, when he had tried me, I shall come forth as gold. God knows what he's doing. So we must remember that when we face temptations, God is faithful. And part of that faithfulness is revealed, as it says in the next passage of 1 Corinthians 10:13, he will with the temptation also make a way to escape. So yes, he allows the temptation in our lives, but he also will always make a way of escape. Now, if you go to James chapter 1, verse 12, quickly, God makes it very clear in this verse that when we resist temptation, that's a blessing to the Lord. And he promises to bless us. Now, I mentioned verse 2, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Verse 3, knowing this, that the trial of your faith worketh patience. But look down at verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he has tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. It's a blessing when we endure it. Now, if we succumb to it, that's not a blessing. But it's a blessing when we endure it. And God says that he will always make a way of escape. Now, that way, of course, is going to be unique and different, and God will always give it. But it's something that we need to learn to trust God, to realize he's faithful. As Jesus said, we need to pray, watch and pray, that you not enter not into temptation. We need to be in his word, because the Bible teaches that the word of God transforms our minds, transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's Romans chapter 12 and Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. And also, we need to be in church. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and not forsake the assembly. We need to make sure that we have as many of these things in our lives as possible, so that when the temptations do come, we have the tools we need to resist, or as James 1:12 says, endure the temptation and find that way of escape that God has provided. So God isn't saying that we can live like the devil, we can not be in his word, we can not pray, we can stop going to church, we can just not worry about how we're living our lives, and then when the temptations come, it'll be no problem. That's not what he's saying. But he's saying that if we'll be relying on him, if we're walking in the Spirit of God, he will make a way of escape. And he promises that in his faithfulness, it will always be there. So we need to learn, if you go to Genesis 39, we'll just see an example here in the life of Joseph. Remember, Joseph was brought up out of prison and became second in the household here. And then the householder's wife began to tempt Joseph. And notice what he did. Genesis 39 and verse 12. The Bible says, she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. So he took the way of escape. He ran. So God isn't saying when the temptations come to just say, oh, I can handle this. And no. The Bible says to flee temptation. The Bible says to abstain from fleshly lust, but it says to flee fornication. So don't put yourself in those situations where you know you'll be tempted. If you're a former alcoholic, you don't go and sit at the pub and say, I'm tough, I can handle this. No, that's foolish. That's what it means, what it says in Romans 13, make not provision for the flesh. We need to set those barriers in our lives as much as we can to not allow it to overtake us, but to protect ourselves. But God always says that there will be a way of escape. And part of that is, as James 1:27 says, to keep himself unspotted from the world. So we're told that God has promised us that there will always, he will always make a way to escape, that he is faithful, and he will not suffer us to be tempted above that. Notice it says, we are able. God knows our limits. And they're different for every person. The temptations that attack us are different for every person. We if you go to Hebrews chapter 12, we all have a different sin that besets us, and we're all different in that way. For some people, it may be lust. For others, it may be a temper. For others, it may be something else. But sadly, the devil knows what it is. But notice here in Hebrews 12, verse 1, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. We all have a besetting sin. The devil knows what it is. God knows what it is. But God says he will always make a way to escape. So make sure that you take that way, because through God, we have victory. The Bible says we have victory through our Lord Jesus Christ in 1 Corinthians 15:57. In Romans 8:37, the Bible says we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And so remember, when that temptation comes, and it will, today, tomorrow, this week, 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common. Jesus has experienced that temptation. He understands. But God is faithful. When the temptation comes, remind yourself, God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. So God knows our limits, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And as James said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. There's always a way to escape. It often doesn't seem like it or feel like it. And that may be because we're not in his word like we should be. We're not praying as we should. Maybe we're not coming to church as we should. Maybe we're not where we need to be in our spiritual walk. Because the Bible says, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. So there's a way to escape. There always is. There's always going to be the temptations from the devil and from the world and from our own flesh. It's never going to stop until we leave this earth. But there's always going to be a way to escape because God is faithful. God knows your limits. Above that ye are able, he says. So be encouraged by this great truth this morning. And when the temptations come, know that God understands. God has been there. And God knows about it. God has allowed it. And God has made a way of escape. And claim the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So thank you for your time this morning, and I pray that we'll all take this great truth to heart. If you're listening, you've not been born again, this message does not apply to you. Before you can have the victory over sin, you must have Jesus. And you won't have Jesus until you trust him as your own personal Savior and be born again through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Those of us that are Christians, there's always a way to escape. Thank you, Lord, for this time in your word. I pray that we'll take it to heart, and Lord, when the temptations come, we will believe that you are there, that you're going to help us, that you'll watch over us and protect us and empower us. We thank you, and that you always provide a way to escape. May we take it and endure that temptation, Lord. We love you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. See you tonight at 5 o'clock in the book of Joel.